This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our next guest, Sasheer Zameida, has been a cast member on Saturday Night Live since 2014. Now viewers have a chance to see her own comedy act on a new stand-up special called Pizza Mind, which is on NBC's comedy streaming site, CISO. She also appears in the film Deirdre and Lainey Rob a Train, which just premiered on Netflix, and the film Slight, which will be released later this month. Zameida has a background in improv and performed with the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York City, where many comics have gotten their start. Listeners of This American Life might also know Zameida from her appearances on that show. Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado spoke with Sasheer Zameida. They started with an excerpt from her stand-up special in which she's telling the story behind her first name.
My name's not actually from any island or African culture. It's from Star Trek. My parents are Trekkies. Technically Trekkers, that's what the fans were called when the show first came out. And they were watching an episode together, season 2, episode 50. And Captain Kirk was flirting with this alien princess, as he does. And he gave her a rose and she goes, "Oh, we have something like this on my planet, except it's made out of crystal and it's called Sasheer." And my parents were like, "Yes! That'll be our daughter." And they gave each other a Vulcan high five and called it a night.
That's from the stand-up special Pizza Mind. Sasheer Zameida, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You started in comedy doing improv. You even did it in college. But when you moved to New York, you did improv, you did sketch, and you started doing stand-up. What made you want to start doing stand-up comedy?
People in my improv classes were talking about trying stand-up. And the way they described it, they were all scared. They thought it was a big endeavor. And I like doing scary things. So I was like, well, I'll give it a try. And I did. I went to an open mic by myself, didn't tell anybody, wrote some jokes, and I didn't do awful. So I remember going on stage, doing my 5 minutes, and then I came off stage and sat next to another woman. She's like, "Great job." And I was like, "Thanks. That was my first time." And she's like, "Well, I couldn't even tell." And I was like, "This is my life forever. I can do this forever now." I just wanted to keep going and get better and learn how to tackle this thing that was new to me.
Your stand-up special, Pizza Mind, deals a lot with issues like racism and sexism. And I want to play another scene from Pizza Mind about an interaction you had with someone else who works on SNL who mistakes you for another African-American female comedian. Let's take a listen.
People also have a hard time telling black actresses apart. I was talking to somebody who works at SNL who's seen my face for years, and he asked me, "Didn't you work at The Daily Show before you worked here?" He was talking about Jessica Williams. Exactly, yeah. Okay, she's not here. No, she's great. Yeah, she was The Daily Show correspondent. She is my friend, and not me. She's not me. But I wanted to help this guy out. I was like, "Oh, well, I was in an Apple commercial. Maybe an Apple commercial aired during an episode of The Daily Show, and you got confused," which would have made him an idiot if that's what he thought, but I was still reaching. And he just looks at me and goes, "No, I don't think that's it," and walks away, not knowing his mistake. And I got so mad at myself. I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I hemming and hawing trying to make the situation less awkward for the person who made it awkward? It's not my fault that he can't tell the difference between black women. That's on him. So I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore.
That's from the stand-up special Pizza Mind. I'm not sure if this exact thing happened, but I'm sure variations of this happen all the time. Did that really happen with a SNL coworker?
Oh, that's a real conversation, yeah. Yeah, I want to call out the person who said that, but yeah, it was surprising because it was like, really? You see my face all the time here, and you thought that I worked at The Daily Show? I mean, Yeah, and I really did try to dig him out of that hole for him. I was like, yeah, maybe an Apple commercial is where you saw me, and you got confused. All of that was true, and I don't think he ever really realized what his mistake was.
What do you think that instinct is to try to make it easier for the person who's saying this to you? I mean, it's totally on the other person who made the mistake, but there is this instinct to try to make it nicer, easier for the other person.
I think because you, as soon as that person realizes that they have made a mistake that may be construed as ignorant or even racist, the conversation gets so awkward. And they may be a nice person. They may even be my friend. So there's like a little part of me that's like, oh, no. It's okay. I don't want you to feel bad. And it's kind of like,
you're not racist.
You know, yeah, trying to like coddle a scared kitten or something and be like, no, it's fine. It's like, we're all friends here. We're all okay. But then it's like, no, I don't have to do that. You should learn. You should just learn from your mistakes. You should feel that emotion. And if it feels awkward, and then don't do it again and actually be conscious of what you're saying next time. But yeah, I'm really over trying to make sure other people are comfortable in this conversation when they're making me uncomfortable. It's not my fault. That's something they need to work on.
Now, you were cast on SNL in 2014, and it may be one of the most visible SNL castings ever because it was at this time when SNL was criticized for lack of diversity and particularly for not having any women of color on the cast for a couple years. What was the casting process like for you from your perspective?
It was mostly odd because it was so public.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had been auditioning for the show for a couple years before this point, and then they asked for a rushed showcase of black women in L.A. and in New York, and I was in the New York one. And then they chose people from those pools, and then I found out, like, after the holiday break. This was all in December.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was very stressful. I mean, I didn't love it. I didn't mm-hmm. love that it was so public.
Well, had SNL been a goal of yours, like as a kid, did you watch the show and think, that's what I want to do, I want to do that?
Yeah, I watched SNL and Mad TV and Whose Line Is It Anyway, and didn't know how to get there at all. Didn't even know how the people who were there got there. And then when I got to college, I started doing improv, and then the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater has a touring company, and they go to colleges, and a group came to my college at UVA, and there was like a talk back between the college groups and the UCB team, and someone asked, how do you get a career in comedy? And Bobby Moynihan, who happened to be in the group, said, move to New York, go to UCB, and work really hard. And so I did that. And then and when I moved to New York, I didn't know how much improv and comedy would play into my life. I thought I was going to do theater and Broadway and stuff, but I kept going to see UCB shows, and I was just such a fan that I was like, I should just really try this, and dove in hard, started taking classes back to back, started taking sketch classes, and started doing stand-up all at the same time. And then eventually I was like, oh, this is all I want to do. This is all I want to dedicate my time to. And then eventually, my managers and agents saw me perform and signed me, and then I started getting money for it, and I was like, oh, this is even better now that I'm getting paid for it. And yeah, and then it turned into my career.
Do you have a favorite SNL sketch that you've worked on or that you loved performing in or writing?
This season, we did a sketch that was a Stranger Things parody, and I watched Stranger Things when it came out and loved it. And by the end of it, the biggest question I had was, where were Lucas's parents? The little black boy, his parents were nowhere, at least not anywhere searching for him. And I was like, if I was running around the woods looking for monsters late at night, my parents would be freaking out, and they would try to find me. I remember my mom would, like, rip me out of a Steak and Shake because I was out too late. So if I was, like, in danger, the consequences would be much greater. So I just wanted to put that in sketch form, and we have the performers for it, and Keenan and Lizzie, like, made wonderful, harsh parents. And, yeah, I was so happy with the way that came out.
Well, let's take a listen to that sketch. It's really funny. A sketch from earlier this season, which was a parody of the Netflix show Stranger Things. And you're playing the little African-American boy.
Yeah.
Lucas!
Oh, no. Oh, God. It's my parents.
Lucas, where the hell have you been? We haven't seen you in days.
What makes you think you can be out this late? Kids in this town are getting snatched up by kidnappers.
But it's not kidnappers, Mr. Sinclair.
Yeah, it's the Demogorgon.
A demo what?
It's a monster, and we're looking for it.
Lucas, I told you not to hang out with these little white kids.
But we have to find the Upside Down.
The what?
It's like the normal world, but it's scarier, and there's danger at every turn.
Baby, people who look like us already live in the Upside Down.
Let me put it to you this way, Lucas. You don't have to go looking for scary stuff. It's gonna find you.
That's a sketch from Saturday Night Live featuring Sasheer Zamata. We'll hear more of her interview with our producer, Anne-Marie Baldonado, after a break. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to the interview our producer, Anne-Marie Baldonado, recorded with Sasheer Zamata, who has been a cast member of Saturday Night Live since 2014.
Now, radio and podcast fans may also know you from your appearances on This American Life. You've been on a bunch of times. And
yeah,
some of them funnier, some of them poignant, but all great pieces that you worked on. And one great piece you did was for an episode where the theme was It Will Make Sense When You're Older. And in it, you talked to your mom about race. It's about your relationship. It's about how she was one of the first Black students to integrate a white junior high school in a small town in Arkansas during the civil rights era. I want to play a bit of the piece. Here, your mother is describing to you what it felt like to be one of those kids. And she talks about how she felt like she didn't ask for it. She didn't ask to be a trailblazer. And she felt really alone, like she didn't have anyone to talk to about the experience. And here you ask her to describe what her first day was like. And then that sort of cuts to, at the end of what she's saying, it cuts to a bit of your stand-up back. So let's listen.
There was a lot of cussing at us while we were sitting on the bus. And Mama had told us sit in the front of the bus so in case something happens, the bus driver is a witness. Well, he was just a witness to us getting cussed out every day. He did nothing. When we got off the bus, we stood outside the window of the office. So if anything happened, then they could witness something happening to us. The person I remember standing in the window was Coach Collier, who later became principal. So he witnessed the kids throwing rocks at us. I remember I had on a white blouse, a houndstooth vest, and a black skirt, and had on cute little white bobby socks. And I remember looking down at my legs and how the rocks had pelted them and one had broke blood. And some kid, I guess he pulled out a banana. He threw a banana and it landed on my houndstooth vest. And I never got that stain out.
Being in junior high, no matter who you are, is hard. Like, it just sucks. People are mean. And so I started asking her questions about this. Like, what was it like? And my mom said, think of it like Mean Girls, but they're racist. And I was like, no! Like, that's the analogy where I fully understood. I was like, oh my God! That's too mean!
That's an excerpt from a piece from This American Life by my guest, Sasheer Zamata. Was it hard to hear that from your mom, not only because she seems still really hurt about the experience, but because she was so conflicted about her role in the civil rights movement?
Yeah, it was interesting. She was totally on the side of, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be a part of it. If I had a choice, I would have stayed in the schools that had all Black kids. There was a lot of responsibility on her shoulders just to exist, just her existing and being in an environment that did not want her was now a responsibility. And yeah, it was hard to hear because I can't even imagine doing that. She did that for years. She had a full ulcer by the time she left high school. She was under so much stress. And I really can't even compare anything in my life to that. I also wouldn't want that. So I'm proud of her. I'm glad she did it. I'm glad she talked about it.
Now, in your stand-up special, Pizza Man, you say that your mom has started acting too. Let me play a clip from the special.
My mom just recently told me that she's getting into acting, which is so cool. Because I'm an actress and we get a new thing to talk about. And it's fun to see her try a new thing and be really excited about it. It makes me very happy. But I felt bad because when she first told me about it, a little part of my brain was like, that bitch better not take my parts. And I don't want to feel that way. But there's only so many roles for Black women these days. And I'm sure some of you are like, you guys are in different age groups. You're not going to compete for the same roles. But casting directors can't tell how old Black women are. Can't. And there's evidence of this because Gabrielle Union has played a teenager for 3 decades.
That's from the stand-up special, Pizza Mind. I don't know if she's still interested in acting, but was that something that your mother had always been interested in, or did you inspire her?
She definitely wanted to be on stage. She was in a bunch of pageants when she was younger, and like after the This American Life story, I think she was inspired to do more of that and started taking acting classes. And now she's straight up signed with a agency in Indianapolis, and I'm so excited for her. I would love for her to be like a late in life successful actress. I would love for that to be the main way she makes money, like just books commercials and does little bit parts, or maybe does leading roles. I don't know. Whenever I get control of something and I start making movies, I'm going to put her in as much as I can.
Sashir Zameda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sashir Zameda spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado. Zameda is a cast member of Saturday Night Live. Her new comedy special, Pizza Mind, is on the NBC streaming site CISO. She's also in 2 new movies, Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train, which just premiered on Netflix, and Slight, which will be released later this month. If you'd like to catch up on Fresh Air interviews you missed, like this week's interview with Elizabeth Rosenthal about how healthcare became big business, or our interview with Jeffrey Toobin about the conservative legal group The Federalist Society and its executive vice president, who was instrumental in the nominations of Justices Gorsuch, Alito, and Roberts, check out our podcast. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Mooj Zaidi, and Thea Chaloner. I'm Terry Gross.